The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you this morning. They're coming to you on April the 23rd. That's Tuesday. And the guys that are willing to and want to play on the PGA Tour this week, it's the Zurich Classic of New Orleans at the TPC Louisiana that everybody is at. So we're looking about that. Billy Horschel, the defending champion, and we'll get into talking about that tournament and Louisiana in particular, because our guest, Paul Stankowski, will be joining us here shortly, has a little history in Louisiana that we'll touch when we get to him and talk about a lot of different things. Tour veteran, who's going to be playing the web.com event coming up very shortly and is looking forward to turning 50 shortly. That'll be putting him on the PGA Tour champions, all kinds of great stuff. You'll also hear him all the time on PGA Tour radio and the different courses, if you will, with PGA Tour radio and live and on and on and on. So we'll talk to Paul here very, very shortly. Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios, as always. Matter of fact, Paul will be, we're just talking, and he's going to be coming to your neck of the woods here, Frank. He's going to be in Nashville for the .com event. In a, was that next week? 2 weeks?
Next week, by the way. It's next week. Hello, Tim. How are you?
Next week. I'm doing good. Yeah. I'm doing good.
All good. All good here in Nashville. It's warm, a little rain. Hopefully the golf course at Nashville Golf and Athletic will be in good condition. I know the ownership down there does a good job with it. And it's a different kind of golf course, originally designed for a U.S. Open, by the way. And then they went in and took out a lot of bunkers, but it still has some U.S. Open characteristics with the rough being very penal, a lot of bunkering, small greens, and we'll see. You know, but looking, I hope Paul will be here and look forward to seeing him down there. I told him I'd loop for him for three holes.
I was going to say, you kind of threw that offer out there a little bit sooner than you probably thought about it. Taking you up, like, oh, darn, really? You want me to?
Oh, no, that's a heavy bag.
Hey, by the way, congratulations to CT Pan. Wins his first event last week at the RBC Heritage. We talked to you guys last week. Diane Knott was with us. She was at the RBC Heritage in the Hilton Head area last week when we were doing the show. And CT Pan wins for the first time on the PGA Tour. So a very, very big week for him because, as they always say, it's always kind of exciting. It opens up so many doors. Not only do you get invited to the Masters and other invitationals and tournaments that winners get into, you get a two-year exemption. You get FedEx Cup points. It goes on and on and on. So it really does, and without being too cliche, changes the lives of these guys that win for the first time. So anyway, congratulations to CT Pan. Did a great job of getting the birdie late in the round when he needed to hold off Matt Kuchar.
And congratulations to Brooke Henderson becoming an eight-time winner on the eight wins on the LPGA by a Canadian, which ties Mike Weir, everybody else. So congratulations to Brooke. That's a big achievement. And at her age, she's probably going to beat them all. So Post, Weir, everybody.
She's just getting started. I mentioned earlier our guest, and we'll bring him in, Paul Stankowski. You hear him on PGA Tour radio and doing a lot of broadcasting for PGA Tour. But, you know, in the past, he was a valuable member on the PGA Tour and is kind of chilled for a little bit now and getting ready as he's in that 48, 49 age group, getting ready for PGA Tour champions. So he gets in a few web.com tournaments and on. We're going to talk to him about that and see what's up with Paul. And he joins us now. Stanky, how you doing today?
Hey, boys. You know what? I'm doing good. I'm trying to win some scratch-off thingies here from the grocery store. So I'm sitting in my kitchen with a stack of these Monopoly game pieces. And I'm a loser.
Those new FootJoy icons are just one scratch away. Come on.
I got a kid going to college next year. I got another one on the heels of that. So I'm really hoping for something good here. I don't play the big lottery just because I always forget. And then I look at the board and it's like grown to like, I don't know, I think it's approaching like 200 million. And I'm like, okay, when it gets to 300 million, I start thinking about what would I do with, you know, I take the cash value of what, 100. And I'm like, what would I do with $100 million? Who could I give it to?
Yeah.
And I dream and then someone wins it. And then I forget about it again. So anyway, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm getting ready to head off to see my Dr. Van Beezen, Troy, who is working on my body, trying to get me ready for playing some golf next year or in December at the PGA Tour Champions Q School. So I'm all geeked up about that. But nice. Yeah, that's the deal.
Hey, you know, I was thinking about today. I think it was the Wells Fargo. I think it was during the Valero, the Texas Open. And Jordan Spieth was playing. And I think that's the tournament. He shot 40-31, maybe. And they were talking about, wow.
Correct.
He was falling apart in the front nine and put it together on the back. And what a difference it makes from nine holes. And it makes me always think of you and any golfer that's played an awful lot, certainly at your level, has these stories. I remember you telling me one time in a tournament you shot, 61-77 on a Thursday,
yes.
Friday? Is that right?
Made the cut, yes. On the number.
So
made the cut 67, on the number.
It was pretty, it was a pretty direct swing, too. Only to be topped by Faraday, because when they were talking about Spieth at that tournament, Faraday was doing broadcast, and he said, and they asked him something about, you know, have you ever gone that iffy one way or the other? He said in one tournament back in his heyday, he shot 29-50. 29 on the front nine, 50 on the back nine. And they were like freaking out. They're going, you got to be kidding me. Are you? And he goes, no, I seriously did. He goes, somewhere in Linder.
What?
Wind blowing. And he goes, outward, 29. Everything's going downwind. I can drive the greens. I come back into this wind. And you can only imagine British Open kind of winds. And he shot 50. 29-50 in the same 18 holes. That's dramatic as I ever remember hearing about.
And
yeah,
still made the cut.
Oh my gosh. I'm sure the score was pretty decent when it's all said and done. That's a 79 if I added those up correctly.
People talk about that kind of stuff, Paul, though. Is it possible? I mean, is that level? Obviously it is. You do it. What happens in nine holes? What happened to Spieth in that one where you can be falling apart and maybe the next day it changes, but even within the same 18 holes, just an hour later, you're making birdies or vice versa. You're making birdies and suddenly like DJ did.
Oh.
The RBC, you start making bogeys on every hole. What happens there in the blink of an eye?
Well, you know what? Golf is a hard game. And the difference between making a birdie and a bogey is two shots, okay? But it could be so small. You know, a ball up the left-hand side of the fairway, it bounces into the rough, and it's sitting up nicely. You know, and you have a good angle, and you hit the ball up there 12 feet, and you make it for birdie. The next hole, you hit the ball in the left-hand rough, and it sits down a little bit, and you have a tucked pin, and you hit a flyer, and it jumps over the green, and then you're in a terrible lie again with a bad angle, and before you know it, you make bogey or double. And so a lot of luck's involved, if you will, with putting up a really good number, because it's drawing a good lie, it's getting a good bounce at the right time, and you know, when I shot 61, it was in New Orleans. It was not at TPC where they play now. It was at English Turn. And I shot 61 in the morning, 25-mile-an-hour winds. I was actually in the afternoon. And in the morning, Brian Watts shot 64. And I remember getting to the golf course going, oh, my gosh. Like, how do you shoot 64? I mean, the flags are whipping. And so I go out there and I shoot 61. I had a six-footer on the 15th hole, the Island Green par 5 for eagle, back right pin, hit 2 iron in there, 6 feet. I got that to go to 12 under par. And so I'm thinking at that point, when I hit that ball on the green, I'm like, oh my gosh, I might shoot 59. And I missed the putt and I parred in and shot 61. But I come up the next day. Well, that day I had like two chip ins. They weren't like ridiculous chip ins. They were just off the green and I chipped them in. They were simple chips. I made my share of 10 to 20 footers. And I did everything right. Right. I made a bunch of putts. I hit it good. The next day I hit it pretty much the same tee to green. But I failed to get up and down a couple times, you know, whether it's bad lies or when I missed the green, you know, an equally bad shot, but now I've got a bad angle and I can't get up and down. I had a couple, 3 putts and I didn't make any putts from 10 to 20 feet. And I hit it in the water on 15 instead of making birdie and had an eagle putt. I hit it in the water, I think twice. And made a 7 or something. And that's what happens. And so I get done at the end of the day and I'm cracking up. I think they were cutting in round one on ESPN because thinking it was a 59 watch. And the next day I shoot 77 and I'm in the scores tent. I'm like, I just shot 16 shots worse in 18 holes. It's mind boggling. I didn't feel like I hit it that much different. So I don't have an answer for you, Tim, as far as why. Yeah. Somebody can shoot 40. I understand the 40-31, or Tiger shoots 40-30 at Augusta in 97, the first day. I understand that, because to come back, like, I understand a 77-61 a lot better than a 61-77, or at least you could handle that better. And in the case of Jordan Spieth, you know what? He has shown signs weekly of coming back, getting back on track. He's hitting a lot more quality shots. He's making runs. He's finding himself up the leaderboard, only to fall back a little bit. But, you know, I got to believe his mindset. He's got a shooter mentality. He's a gamer. He's looking for the little nuggets of goodness each week to build on. He's not hanging his head. He's not being dejected. I'm sure there's, you know, every great player wants to play great. When you're not, you start wondering a little bit. But I think, you know, his team, his mind, I think he's just going to keep going, keep plodding along, keep trying to chip away at it. And before he knows it, before we know it, he'll be back in the winner's circle again on the PGA Tour. I believe that. So, but it's a struggle week in, week out. And that 40-31 wasn't like it was awful the front nine. He just, you know, just made some bogeys, right? Hit some bad shots, and like everybody does. And the back nine, he made some putts and hit some good shots. You know what? You knuckle down and you keep going. That's how you do that.
Well, you know what he did, Tim and Paul, on 17 Sunday, when he flies the green, puts it all the way over the green, back in the soup, back in the swamp behind it, and he just goes back to his bag, and he grins and kind of laughs it off and says, oh, well, that attitude, I have to say, will keep him from falling apart. I think that attitude is very positive on his side, and I look forward to some great things from him. I don't see him going backwards again.
No, I'm with you. And what's interesting is, you know, if someone just started following Jordan Spieth this year, and they're like, wow, this guy talks a lot after he's hitting the shots. He's you know, he's knocking on his caddy, all this kind of stuff. Okay, yeah, it could appear that, you know, he's over the top talky, right? And especially after a shot, and, you know, always talking about what just happened. But if you go back to when he was playing great golf, he did the same thing. So that's kind of his MO. He expresses his emotion and expresses his mind with his caddy, and they do a lot of talking. So he's not changing at all, which I love. I love the fact, hey, if you're a talker, talk. Talk when you're playing good, talk when you're playing bad, but talk. Far too often, people change their demeanor. You know, Tiger, when he gets going, you know it. Fist pumping, you know, the whole deal, right?
Sure.
Playing to the crowd. When he's playing poorly, for the most part, you know it. I mean, he's not afraid to bury a club and to, you know, drop an F-bomb and do whatever, right? I mean, he's emotional. He plays emotionally. But what I love about Tiger is that once the club gets to the bag, whether it's been slammed in the bag or just handed to Joey or placed in the bag gently, he turns and he stands. If he's not last to hit, it's like one breath and he's right back in. And you know that he doesn't seem to let bad shots get to him, and he doesn't compound his mistakes. A lot of you, if you look at a lot of either younger tour players or guys who go back and forth, bounce between the tours, or you know, guys who don't play anymore because they lost their card, they'll tend to lean more toward Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. You know, going back and forth between, you know, emotion, not emotion. There's not a consistency there. And what I see in Tiger, he's consistent. He's either super pumped or upset. Now, the new Tiger that we see is different. Like, you can draw a line probably from mid last year when he started really being healthy and go, okay, now it's a new guy. Because I watched him at the Masters and there was zero emotion when things didn't go his way that I saw. He was very calm and collected. Now, when he made a putt or something, we saw the fist pumps again. We didn't see the fist pumps until the Masters. I covered a lot of his tournaments the last 2 years, and Valspar last year, when he made that 50 footer on 17, I was waiting for his fist pump, never got it. Like he just started walking to the ball and picked it up out of the hole. It was different. So he's a different guy, but anyway, consistency is key. To play in consistent golf, you have to, if you're emotional, be emotional, but be on both sides. But you can't let bad shots or bad nines get to you. And so Jordan shoots 40 in San Antonio, 31 in the back nine, like it was nothing.
Yeah, selective amnesia is a great thing in golf. It really is.
For some of these guys, like you said, Paul, it's a tough game. I mean, there's a simple explanation, and that is it's not as easy as the pros often make it look like it can be. We're talking with Paul Sankowski with PGA Tour Radio, and since we've talked about Tiger, eyes are going to be on what's happening in the next major and the PGA Championship coming up in about 3 weeks or so at Bethpage, which is a familiar and a victorious site for Tiger Woods. Are you feeling, Paul, that what we saw at Augusta, is Tiger now going to not sneak up on anybody anymore? And the wonderment of, can he come back? Can he do it? Is his body going to be healthy? All the questions we had seem to have been answered. Are you on board with Tiger maybe winning a couple of majors even this year?
I've been on board with Tiger for the last year and a half. Once I saw that he was healthy, I thought, oh my gosh, all right, he's coming back. It's like I say, it's a different guy. Yes. Okay. He won the Masters. We've got the PGA is at Bethpage. The U.S. Open is where?
The U.S. Open is at Pebble Beach.
Exactly.
Yep. Two
so
more tournaments.
We all know he won there by 15 shots. and then the Open, so where are they playing the Open Championship this year? I didn't even look.
Royal Portrush.
All right. He didn't win there yet, did he?
No.
Okay. Well, I think it's realistic that he can win the next two legs of the majors. Who knows? I mean, he's won there before. He's playing great golf. I think everybody's been so excited to get a chance to maybe someday play against the Tiger who was kind of like the old Tiger. Well, I think what we saw now, he didn't dominate the field at the Masters, but he won the tournament and he did it in a different way. And he plotted his way around the golf course. I mean, even when he got tripped, okay, you go back and look at that video. He walks and he gets tripped. He doesn't even look back. He just kept walking. No. Now he was trying to fix his ankle, but like, I don't know. I mean, he didn't even look backwards. Like, I ain't looking back. I'm going out. I got a mission. Like, I'm not going to get tripped up. It was pretty. I mean, everything I saw that week was,
Paul,
it was an eye opener. Like, is he back? Yes, he's back. And will he win again? We don't know. I mean, good night. Winning's hard, but I think he could have a chance. Imagine that he wins a Grand Slam this year. And that last win at the Open Championship ties Jack. Holy moly.
That would let me tell you, between the walk between 9 green and 10 tee box at Augusta. And I'm standing right there on the 10th tee box, I mean right there. He walks by and I look him straight in the eyes and he peered right through me, just dead through me. The focus was beyond anything I've ever seen. It was unbelievable, and nothing bothered him. Nothing bothered him that day. And I turned to some of my friends and Pam standing there, and I said, "See that? That man's going to win this tournament. He's about to win this thing." And boy, he did.
I'll tell you. So I was there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with some buddies, and followed him around on Friday. We were on 13 fairway all day, and then they blew the horn when he was on 12. And we left. We have exited the property like everybody else. And as we get to our car, they said, back in position in 15 minutes. So we threw our chairs in the car and walked back around to the north entrance and went through. And by the time we got out to him, he was on 14 tee box. And so we're in the left rough and here comes his golf ball. And this is the hole he got tripped on. And my buddies were standing right there. I was up against the ropes, not paying attention. I just watched him hit it. And then I walked to 15. But we got over to 17 green and we said, let's just go stand on 18 T and get a good spot and, look back. So we were on the left side of 18 T box about a yard ahead of the yardage or the T markers. So we watched them play 17, missed that birdie putt there. And then they walked up on 18 T and I saw the same look that you were seeing, Frank, in his eye, on his face. But I've seen it before. That's the same look that he had when he had complete confidence in his game back when he was winning with his C game, as he would say. So I've seen the look before and it was back and it was a look of, hey, I'm going to win this tournament if I keep doing my job. And that's it. So there was no fear. There's no worry. There's no concern. On Sunday, I'm watching with my son. My son gets up to make a sandwich after he hit his tee shot on six, and the back hole location, it hits the slope, right? And fed down to about 12 feet. And turned out to be a good shot. Anyway, he hits his putt and he doesn't go in. And when it doesn't go in, he just kind of looks at it, you know, looks at it, walks up to it, taps it in, looks back at the line, kind of walks back to where his ball was, shook his head a little bit, just a one little shake, and then walked away. But there was no hanging of the head. There was no, you know, swiping the putter. It was just like he was literally looking at, okay, why'd that miss? Okay, got it. All right, next, we're moving on. And I paused it. I said, Josh, get in here. Rewound it. I said, watch his reaction to this putt. Watch the entire process here and tell me, what did he do wrong? He's like, I don't know. I said, you did nothing wrong. Like, that's how you're supposed to act when you miss a putt. Like, don't hang your head. Don't beat yourself up. You miss it? All right. Did I hit a bad putt or did I misread it? Okay. Yeah. It looks like I might've misread that. All right. Next, turn the page and move on. It was cool. And so seeing him do that and not get, bogged down, to me, that was the look of a guy that says, huh, I'm going to have to win without making that putt. And that's the mindset. When you have that in your head, I think I had that twice in my entire career in 400 starts where I knew, and it wasn't when I went Atlanta and it wasn't when I won Hawaii. One was at Bob Hope Classic when I finished second, lost by four shots to Joe Durant. I literally, until I looked at the board on 18, I thought I was going to win the golf tournament for the entire week. And it was crazy. But, you know, this guy has that. He didn't have it every week, and he didn't have it every week when he was winning the 80 tournaments prior to last year. But he had it probably, you know, 8 to 10 of the events he played in every year where he knew he was going to win, and he didn't win them all, but there were some that he knew he was going to win that he did win. And that's an amazing thing. It's greatness.
Well, you know, you went from the Tour Championship when players, you know how I feel about the Players Championship. It is a huge championship, but the two biggest, the Tour Championship and then the Masters straight to a major, win-win. I see Beth Page Black. I really do. I don't care that it's a bomber's golf course because Tiger has the distance to stay with everybody. Most of them, I don't think, and Paul, you can speak to this better than I, most of the players today don't have the iron game, the distance control of his irons. They just don't have it like Tiger Woods has it. And I think that could win it for him at Beth Page.
I'm with you. To me, the weak link is his putter. Like, he doesn't make the putts that he used to make. Imagine, had he done that, he'd have won by 8 shots at the Masters. He knows those greens better than anybody. Beth Page, does he know him better than everybody? No, he's played one major there, or two. He played probably when did they play there? 2002, I played in that Open. Is that the one he won?
Yeah, yes.
And then they played a major probably, what, a handful of years ago, didn't they? Another U.S. Open there, maybe? I don't know. But he hadn't played there a bunch, right? But he's played really well there, and it was a long time ago. I the greens are perfect. At least they were in 2002. They were under the best putting greens I putted on. So I'm with you on his – he's long enough. He's a top 10 guy out there in distance off the tee, maybe top 15. His iron play, stellar. He now is shaping it properly. He's missing them now on the fat side again. He's never really been a pin shooter. You know, he's not been a guy that hunts flags down. He might hunt them down, but he hunts them from the fat side, working the ball in toward the pin. And right now his distance control is on. His iron play is great. His short game looks like it's very solid. And all comes down to putting, and we've seen him now miss. He's not making every one of those putts from 6 to 10 feet. There's still a handful of misses in there that I think are holding him back a little bit. But if that putter gets hot, holy moly!
Do we have Tim?
I'm here. Oh, I thought Paul was.
I thought he was
going
to keep
going.
Are you doing scratch offs too, there. Tim? Is that
so
what's
Paul,
going on here?
I'm curious. We're done by Paul Dankowski. Say what?
Are you doing the scratch offs too?
Yeah, we're, okay. We're both doing our scratch offs here from the grocery store. But I'm curious, though, Paul, when you mentioned Tiger and the Steely, I did the same thing. Is that a huge difference from other players? We look at the final back nine at Augusta. Tiger hit the shots he needed to hit. Other guys are going in the water. Other guys are missing putts. They're not hitting the greens. Is there a actual difference mentally? And I don't mean to diminish the other players, but is Tiger that much more elevated in a mental standpoint of the focus of hitting the right shots, knowing how to play the game mentally, what to do versus the physical part of it? Is he that superior? And I'm guessing he was back in his heyday, but is that a huge difference maker when it comes down to it between Tiger and the other top 10 players?
I think everybody, all the top 10, top 20 players in the world, they're all amazing with their mind. Okay. But I do think Tiger is better at being more clear. Like, you know, they all know how, like, I'm sure Molinari and Koepka and everybody that, you know, maybe didn't hit the great shots down the stretch and fold, especially Molinari, the guys hit it in the water on 12. That could be a miss hit. That could be a miss aim. You know, Tiger's like, I'm going over the middle of that bunker. Like, I'm not worried about the pin. The bunker is, and Molinari and Koepka, both those balls were on line with the pin, right? So you don't fire at that pin for risk of hitting it short, because that carries a little bit. You know, you'd rather hit in the bunker than obviously short right. But his clarity, his ability to take, like I say, the emotion that he's in, bring it right back down to whatever level he likes to play at, and to get it from the level 10, makes birdie at 11, right? Stuffs it in there, makes birdie at 11, heads to, no, he didn't make birdie at 11. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You're on 12 tee box. You know what's going on. You know the moment. And his ability to focus through the distraction. And the distraction could be the people, the crowd, the moment, the hole, the pin location, whatever it is, all that stuff, your thoughts, your focusing through all that and being clear and having a clarity. And so his clarity may be a little bit better. It might be, we'll say at 2020 is perfection. He may be at 2020 a lot of the guys are at 2020 sometimes, but then they kind of lose a little bit of that. I don't know. You know, Molinari, the shot he hit on 15, was that a ball that just climbed up the club face? The tree, I don't think in his mind was even in his way, but I think he might have hit a little bit heavy and it got up a little high and hit the pine cone. Right. I mean, but that kind of stuff, you can't afford to happen. I don't like this guy's got a better will to win. He wanted it more. No, that's bull crap. You know, I don't think, I mean, everybody wanted it. But I think that the best of the best have an ability to be clear. Kevin Costner on the mound and that, whatever that show was. And he says, clear the mechanism. And everything just kind of goes
Bull
quiet.
Durham.
No, that's not Bull Durham.
I know it's not, but I love Bull Durham.
Bull Durham's good. But when Kevin Costner on the mound, he says, clear the mechanism. And the crowd noise goes from.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
And it was just, I mean, but that's the great guys have an ability to do that on call. Whereas most of the really good players on the PGA Tour can do that, but there are times when things get a little quick and you know they'll make mistakes. So Tiger's not perfect; he's not flawless, and he wasn't back in the day. He was just a little bit better than everybody else, in the mind. So I do think it's a mental thing. Right now, his physical is really good. His body's good. He's got a ton of trust that the team of people he's working with on his body. Have him locked in. And once you have trust, he's obviously been a broken down human being. But to trust the fusion in the back, to trust the knee, to trust all the other issues, where it doesn't look like he's holding back one bit. It's game on. And the fact that he's controlled, I think there's so much more clarity in his mind now than there was for the 5 years leading up, because he had doubt in his body. He had doubt about his game. He had chipping woes. I mean, it was the whole package. Like, all of a sudden, Tiger Woods is playing really close to what I had to play with in my mind, which was not very good. I think he's back mentally. Maybe it's close to where he was. Maybe he's better. I don't know. But it looks really darn good.
Do you think, because this was a home game, and you were there, I was there, the crowd was behind Tiger. The crowd was for Tiger Woods, no doubt about it. And it was a home game for him. The Tiger effect, it had to affect, and you can speak to this again, Paul, because you're a PGA Tour professional and a champion. The effect of that energy pushing Tiger down every fairway to every green, what did that have on the boys that had to stand beside him on the tee box every time?
Well, I'll say the word distraction, and there it is again. You know, I think Tiger playing really good golf can be a distraction to everybody. And it doesn't take much to be distracted, to take you off of your focus in your game. You look at the board and you see him climbing, and then you hear the roars. And I think for anybody who's been to Augusta, who's been there when Tiger has played, and who's been there when Tiger hasn't played, it seems like, you know, and when Jack played, their roars are a little different. They're just a little louder. It's more collective. You know, because he is the fan favorite, you know, when he's in the mix, people want to see this guy. And a lot of the people who spend the buku bucks to go, they want to go see him. So it sounds like, in my mind, that it's a distraction thing. And sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot of distraction to take a guy off his game. And as we know, one shot is huge, or one swing is huge. And, you know, we saw Molinari hit this. I think without the shot on 15, you know, maybe it's a different story. You know, the hitting in the water on 12, you still have a lot of golf left to recover that. But he didn't, and Tiger won. And I think all that does is put another arrow in his quiver, if you will. And I think the best players on earth, you heard it in their interviews, they're all excited. Brooks Koepka, for crying out loud, he said, that was kind of cool. You know, are you kidding me? To hear that coming out of everybody's mouth, to see that all the guys sitting there lined up afterwards to congratulate him. You never saw that back in the day. There were no players that were congratulating him. They were ticked off that he won again. And they were already down the road trying to figure out how am I going to beat this guy. But these guys were like, they were so genuinely excited for him. That he won again. And then they're at the same time, they're like, holy crap.
Well, you said it earlier, be careful what you wish
for.
And everybody wished, oh, we'd love to play against the Tiger of old. Well, they got a little glimmer of that, maybe not by five, six, seven strokes like you did. You had to play against that guy. And that had to be an incredibly intimidating thing, because you knew he could just beat you like a tom-tom when he put the throttle down.
He was just toying with this man, and that's the thing. I mean, and the thing is, it is different now. I mean, because I think that the level of talent on the PGA Tour, I think, is deeper now. It seems like it keeps getting deeper every year. The mentality of the player keeps getting better, and obviously, you know, my generation is just from '94 till present. '94 till 6-8 years ago, but. And those guys are great. And so the players now, I didn't really have to play against, and watching them, you know, it's a different game. Seems to have changed, I think, quite a bit. It was becoming a power game. It's now, that's what it is, you know?
Yeah.
But that's fine. I mean, I think the guys are excited. I think this is going to juice everybody up. It's not going to intimidate the players. They're not going to be intimidated by him. They're well beyond that. It's now his advantage may come just from just a little bit of distraction. That's all. But these guys are, I think they're all to a man, pretty geeked up about getting the opportunity to play, play against this Tiger. So it's going to be fun to watch.
It's nothing but extraordinary, I think, to see the comeback he's made. How everybody, the fact that the fellow players around him are kind of embracing him and liking the revival of Tiger has made it really, really interesting and exciting. And I'm sure the networks from PGA Tour Radio to CBS and everybody else excited, because Tiger is going to make people get back to the game that I think kind of left it for a while. And the casual fans are going to get back in that he's always been able to bring into the game. So yeah, I think it's a great time for golf right now. And I can't wait for Beth Page, by the way, great reference that you're making, Paul. It was the love of the game, Billy Chappell, There was the pitcher, Kevin Costner. Yeah, had to.
For the love of the game, yeah.
Yeah.
But Bull Durham was breathing through your eyelids like the lava lizards of the Galapagos Islands.
Yeah,
well, that's right. That's the one. Yeah.
Hey, whatever it takes, and, guys.
And,
whatever
and
it
Tim
takes.
Tim Robbins wearing, what was he wearing? Garter belt?
Yeah, garter belt.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Tim, I heard you've done that before, though. I mean, Scotty McLaren wore his pajamas to win this past
putting.
Week.
So anything. Hey, we all know, right? We all play golf. Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
I'll be out there in a skirt to help me make some putts.
Do you think, especially you, Paul, from the mind of the current PGA Tour player, Tiger Woods is in the field this week. Now he's on top of the leaderboard or one back, and I'm right there. Are they going to try things that they normally wouldn't try to get an edge on him? Are they going to change their game plan? Okay.
Here's the deal. If they do, solidifies what I just said about distraction. You know, there's nothing you should do to change your game plan, you know, unless you need to knock it on 18-2 for Eagle to win. Okay. And you're two back and you have your game plan all week was the layup on 18. Well, you might want to rethink that if you hit a good tee shot and you have the club to get there. Right. But other than that, the other 71 holes, I don't know. I just think that, you know, golf needs to be played with a plan and you stick to your plan. If your plan is to be aggressive, stay aggressive. If your plan is to be conservative, be conservative, regardless of who's breathing down your neck. Because then you don't have to think about it. That's the thing. When you change your game plan, it's almost like going and playing blackjack. And every time you're dealt a 14 and the dealer has an 8 show, and you're like, I don't know, should I hit or should I stay? I mean, it's stressful, right? That would stress you out. But if you go, hey, what do the rules say? The rules says take a card.
Not at the $2 table.
Well, whatever. But it's – I know you played the 8 – $10 table, but that's the thing. If you follow the rules, you're going to be. It's less stressful. It's less intimidating. It's less distracting if you follow the rules. But if you're guessing the whole time, right? And that's what changing your game plan is like. Well, maybe I need to be more aggressive. Well, all of a sudden now you're out of your mind and you're not going to play well. So now I'm not a sports psychologist, but this is pretty simple stuff. That stick to what you do. Be you. You know, swing your swing. Be you. Whatever. I mean, so anyway, that's the deal. But if a guy is thinking, oh gosh, here comes Tiger. Okay, well, here you go. Now we're at that moment, kind of off the rail a little bit. So what do we got to do to get back in the rail? Well, start focusing on the process. Pull out your book. Look at the yardage book. Start calculating numbers. And the more you're thinking about this shot, what I want to do here, how far do I have to the front? What's the carry? What's the backstop? Now you're not thinking about Tiger. You're not thinking about the board. You're thinking about executing this shot. And if you're in that mode, we have a lot of time to think. And if we can control our mind, we're going to be better off. If we're thinking about Tiger Woods, we got issues.
Well said, and I think that's exactly what Tiger's been doing, and other golfers are certainly learning from him and trying to pick up as many details as they can from the master, if you will. And it is kind of a master class out there for, no pun intended, from the tournament a couple weeks ago. But learning from Tiger, I think, is great for all these guys. And, of course, remember, a lot of them got familiar and some knowledge at the knee of Tiger from the past Ryder Cup and President's Cup when he was a captain, I'm sure, spent a lot of times with these guys. And if they're smart, they did pick his brain when he wasn't playing and he was around and available. Why not? And if they're smart, they did do that. I know Jordan Spieth talked about it all the time, that he tried to get as much time with Tiger as he could. So, like I said, it's a really exciting time to be in golf and to be around golf and to be a fan of it. So I can't wait for the next tournament. I certainly can't wait for the PGA Championship coming up in just a little bit. And, Paul, we appreciate your time. I know you've got to go get some physical therapy because you got tournaments coming up, and best of luck at Nashville at the web.com event that you're in right now and as we speak, but I guess that could fluctuate. But if it holds up and you do play in Nashville next week, best of luck to you in 70 for 72 holes, not just 36. And we look forward to playing or talking to you again real soon. Okay.
Well, guys, hey, I appreciate that. I do enjoy chatting with you. Have a great day and go Stars.
There you go. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Right. See you next week, Paul.
All right, boys.
Paul Stankowski. His reference there was the Dallas Stars beat Frank's Nashville Predators in the first round of the NHL playoffs and move on out to play St. Louis Blues. So,
take
a little hockey.
After this show, I'm going home, and I'm going to take my Predators flag out of the front yard and burn it. An effigy right there. Just burn it.
Hockey glory is short-lived, isn't it?
But it's pathetic.
Yeah, it's all right.
And it's puck-thetic.
Not a bad series, but just
puck-thetic.
First round.
Congratulations are due. The Stars played really well. I mean, they had the Predators' number.
Nobody knew what to expect this year, and they didn't necessarily even know they'd be in the playoffs until about 2 weeks ago. So the fact that they did what they did, it's all good, but we'll see. We'll talk about a little hockey next time. Next time we get Steve Johnson, he's the biggest hockey fan.
Oh, he's a nut,
isn't he? San Diego.
Yeah, I'm glad he's not on today.
Loves hockey.
Thank God. I couldn't handle that.
We would have talked no golf. It would have been all hockey.
Oh, he just rubbed it in my face, too. So at least you don't do that.
I know.
So I appreciate that, Jim. I do. Paul did. I wonder, we forgot to ask him if he won anything. He was doing all those scratch-offs while he was doing the show. I wonder if he won. He would have hollered if he won something.
I'm guessing not. I think we heard a squeal. Yeah, if he did win a six-pack of Diet Coke or something. We probably would have. We would have heard something.
I'm looking forward to seeing him next week. That'll be fun here. Get out there and wonder
what they playing.
It benefits the Snedeker Foundation. This is a Nashville Golf Open.
Yeah,
Music City
and
Open.
It's at Nashville Country Club or something.
It's at Nashville Golf and Athletic Club here in down in Brentwood, Tennessee, which is a suburb of Nashville, just south a little bit. I'm up north at the lake.
An older course, a newer course?
It's been around a while. It started as Crockett Springs Golf Club originally and was designed originally to be a U.S. Open caliber golf course. It's tough. I mean, they've turned the course around. I don't know if they'll turn it back around for this tournament or not. I need to kind of look into that.
You mean like they flipped the nines?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so number one, though, is just a bear. I mean, it's sort of narrow. Yeah. Long, it's a fairly long hole to a green that's surrounded by water on the left, and the green is like a railroad rail, a track rail. It's just long and skinny, and there's no bailout. If you bail out to the right, you've got to come back to this tiny green that flows away from you straight into the water. If you go left, needless to say, you're in the water. So it's a tough starting hole if they do start on the old number one. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. The web.com tour... People think, it's an easier tour. Bull. I think it's as tough or tougher than the PGA Tour. Yeah. It really is.
And just so people are clear, Paul is in that age category, and there is a one for guys trying and wanting to get to the PGA Tour champions, not of age yet. So there are 48, 49 categories for guys of that age who get some exemptions into web.com and get a chance to kind of work the rust off if they haven't been playing competitively for a while, and that's Paul. And so... He's getting treatment with Dr. Van Beesen to get his body in shape, and now he's getting as many tournaments as he can so he can have that kind of competitive that we're with Tiger that you certainly can lose if you've been dormant for a number of years and haven't played at that level. So so that's why he's playing in that web.com event. Not so much to make the cut or get a paycheck. Those are bonus things, but just he kind of wants to
get back into the competition, the thrill of the competition.
The crowd be there. You know how different it is. You go play with your same buddies. It's no big deal. You suddenly play in a tournament, and there's even 20 people standing there watching you hit your first tee shot, and you're like, oh, God.
Please, God, don't let me kill somebody like I almost did in Kentucky one time.
Yeah. So you can imagine it if you're at that level and you're playing with real crowds and actual money on the line and stuff. Yeah, so anyway, it's kind of a neat I didn't even know until we talked to Paul about it the last couple of years that
they have that category.
I think it's a... Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, that is nice. And
a lot of guys have that rust.
I don't know. We didn't ask Paul this, but is there a greater exception, if you will, for a former PGA Tour champion like Paul is? So I don't know. We need to ask him that next time. Or is it just everybody 48, 49?
Well, there are, it's crazy. And Paul knows a lot of these because he has to stay up on it. It is crazy to me how many different exemptions there are
for a bunch.
how many tour wins you have. So if you have two, it's different than if you have five. If your career money list is one thing. If you had any injury exemptions and if you missed any time, how many cuts you made. I mean, there's so many categories. I don't know how you know if you can play or not. It's like if you lose track,
well, you
somebody's you can be doing,
yeah,
you could.
You carry your CPA with you so he can figure that out because they're numbers guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, they're just all different kinds of ways to figure for guys like Paul that are getting between tournament or between categories of PGA Tour regular and PGA Tour. And
yeah,
there's stays up on it, you know, because he's absolutely. Like you said, well, and he's got to go to tour school in December, so or Q school, I mean,
Q school.
For PGA Tour champions to see if he can.
And that's tough. That's tougher to get on than the PGA Tour because there's just not that many open spots every year, you know. So, well, guess it's 82 to 84 today here in Nashville, Tim, and it's sunny. So, guess where I'm going.
You're going to go yachting at the yacht club?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to be yachting unless it's a John boat. But
bringing the boat out?
I'll take the boat out to get my ball out of the water. No, I'm heading to Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club to play golf, which is a Club Corp, our sponsor, Club Corp property. And
yes, it is.
We haven't talked about Club Corp in a while, so you go to your Club Corp properties there in Dallas. When's the last time you've hit Club Corp?
Yes.
Yesterday?
I was there. I'm going there on Friday. I'm going there on Friday to Prestonwood, clubs of Prestonwood, and I'm going to play with, speaking of my accountants, just ironic you said that, I'm playing with my accountant. Who's cooking the tax books as we speak right now.
I wouldn't say that on the air.
No, he's a good guy. Yeah, it's already done.
Don't even go there, please.
For him and write it off taxes. I'm going to be playing it at Prestonwood on Friday, so I'm looking forward to that.
They told me that, Frank, it's not an extension for you, it's an exclusion. What you're trying to do here with taxes. Yeah. Well, Bogey barks when he's in the studio on every show, and we've heard him today, and I apologize for that, but that's just Bogey, and there's nothing I can do about it. I love my dog. But and there he goes right there. But I'm trying to write him off as an on-air personality. And my accountant said, Frank, you know, I'm not going to prison for you. So, no, can't do it.
Bogey's a part of the show.
He is.
Hey, you know what? We were talking about the before we go here, we're talking about the tour event this year. This week is the Zurich Classic in New Orleans.
Yes.
And I did it to Paul because we got into some other things. But I also wanted to give Paul a little credit because the connection, I said there was a connection with Louisiana. Back when he was younger and just getting ready for the tour, he was playing on what was then the Nike Tour.
Right.
Right? The web.com, the Nike Tour back then, the AAA. And he won the Louisiana Open event,
yes,
which got him into the next week of the PGA Tour event, which was the Bell South, and he won that.
Yep.
And he is today, I believe, one of only, I think, maybe two guys that have ever done that, won a web.com or Nike Tour event one week, and the very next week gets to the big leagues and wins to stop there. So that's pretty impressive.
That's very impressive. If you haven't seen Paul Stankowski play, as some of our listeners probably haven't, the newer ones, yeah, check out Paul's record and look him up. He was a hell of a player in his day. And is
good
now.
Player.
I mean, he's getting ready. So I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to see him play out here at Nashville Golf. Maybe I'll go play with him. Play a practice round with him.
Yeah.
Really, really help his game a little bit.
Practice round or something.
It'll make you feel good about his game, that's for sure.
You feel really good about his game. No matter what he shoots, you're like, yeah, I can. In reference, Paul, if you want to just compare. Yeah, I think he'd love to do that. And by the way, if you go to dinner, he loves his red wine.
Yes, well, Uncle Frank does too. You know that.
There.
So,
yeah.
You've been with me in Dallas on occasion. Speaking of red wine, do you still have that Silver Oak, or is it gone?
I still do.
I'm coming to Dallas for the Byron Nelson.
I don't know what the event is going to be. Maybe my daughter gets married or something. I'm not sure what I'm doing.
You're not going to open that for old Uncle Frank coming to town, huh?
Before it goes sour. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I've had it for a long time. I mean, it's like a 2004.
Have you been turning it?
Yes, I have.
Okay, all right.
I guess it keeps it as best as can. I don't know.
Keeping it at 55 degrees or better? Okay.
A lot of people older will have, so yeah.
So, that old bottle of Carnivore still smells like vinegar, doesn't it?
I got some Ripple. Yeah, got some
Mad Dog 2020.
I
Boone's
got some
Farm.
Mad Dog
there you go.
Back there that I've been
Texas tea.
Back in the trunk. All right, let's play some music. I think we're out of time here.
Yeah. Well, are we out of time?
When we get,
what music?
We get goofy. Yeah, yeah. When we get like this.
I know.
We know we're
getting
done.
Tired. It was fun.
Yeah. It's
good
Billy
talking
Chappell
to you, Tim.
Time.
Yeah, it
time
is.
Time to retire.
It is.
All right. Hey, we appreciate just for listeners. We always do right here on Golf Talk America. Thanks to Paul Stankowski for joining us as well. Make sure you listen to Paul and all the boys on PGA Tour Radio and all the different media vehicles for PGA Tour to get the exposure that we all love. And with Tiger, like I said, it's getting bigger the last 5-6 years. Anyway, thanks again for listening. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We do appreciate it, and please remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.